This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. And today I have with me in studios Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee, better known as the ERC. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tan Sri.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be here.
So the ERC was formed in August of 2018 to overhaul our electoral processes, to strengthen our democratic systems. But initially, there were some reactions to your appointment. You were something of a controversial figure when you were first placed in the top post of the ERC, because while you have had extensive experience in the EC before this, you're also a member of a political party. In fact, you're vice president of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. So, were you the best person for the job at the time?
I can't say I was the best person, but I think the government, at my experience in particular, when they invited me to be the chairperson, I didn't ask for the job anyway, but I was invited because I probably, as far as the government is concerned, they wanted somebody who had that experience in looking into what exactly, where exactly we are today, and what exactly we should have in our electoral management. No doubt I was supposed to be free and fair in whatever assessment that we do. And I'm doing just that. I took note of people's concern about my involvement in political party, so I took leave.
So you took leave from the party. Are you still on leave, or have you returned to activity?
I'm still on leave, but I think I may leave the party for good. Probably because of my age and so on. I feel that I'm more useful doing something else rather than in being in politics.
Okay. No. So would you say you've been able to remain completely independent and free of political influence in your time as ERC?
I have been independent since I was appointed. And I had 18 members who are looking at me for leadership, and they are checking on me too. And these people are coming from various bodies, not political bodies, you know.
Your
NGOs
team.
NGOs and so on, yes, including the Bersih people and so on.
All right. Now, moving on to the ERC itself, Tan Sri. Very recently, last week, in fact, the ERC presented its interim report on proposed electoral reforms to the Prime Minister. But notably, this report was not made available to the public. Perhaps you could tell us why that was.
Oh, not yet, because we have been appointed to the government. So it's our duty to present it to the government. You know, the government may want to take a close look at it first. But I have been making public, you know, through the media. And I've been telling people where exactly what we are trying to do for the election. I believe that very soon, just be patient a bit, you know. Very soon, the public will be given the full report to scrutinize. Now, I would encourage very much for the report to be made public, because I would like to see participation of the public in terms of giving us all the kind of criticism, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, we have had 21 or 22, what we call ibat urus, you know, in
stakeholder engagements.
Public engagements all over the country. Mm. And people in politics, NGOs and so on, participated very well.
What's been the response at the stakeholder engagements?
The response has been very good. Thousands of people had time to participate. We are very happy that most of what popularly suggests had been accommodated within the framework of our recommendation. So I'm quite happy. Not just things that we see what they do in foreign countries, in advanced democracies, but also what people think. You know, locally, you know, of what they should have in election. So we are listening to them, and we are happy. Particularly when we don't have referendum here.
So you mentioned that you would encourage that the report eventually be made public so that the public can give their feedback. But Tan Sri, do you mean the interim report to be made public or the final report, which is due in August?
I don't know exactly which one is to be made public, but the interim report is just in draft form, not really a complete report. So I should consider the actual report later.
All right.
Should be made public.
But then what would you say to the calls from Bersih 2.0, for example, that the interim report be made public so that civil society can give their feedback and that feedback could then potentially be taken into account before the final report is made?
I won't comment on that yet. I'll be talking to Bersih on that. They are represented in our committee. We'll discuss about that.
Okay. So this report was based off of the 21 nationwide workshops conducted since August of 2018. Could you perhaps give us a snapshot of the kind of demographic you were able to access during these workshops? You know, where were they held? What kind of, who was it that that attended to these workshops and gave you their feedback?
Yeah, we go to every state and then we invited members of political parties, NGOs, members of government organizations, semi-government organizations, all, and everybody, every organization that expressed their desire to join us. We will make public also reports on each and individual workshop that we have.
All right. And so will you be holding any more stakeholder workshops in the time between now and August 2020?
Yeah, we are still holding that. You know, any request we will take up and we will meet these people at their request. Probably after the report is made public, we will also handle responses from various organizations. We would like to have more dialogues over all matters that have been, subject of our reform agenda. There's nothing to hide, and we would like to see that reform introduced would meet with everybody's request.
So, which organizations have you been able to engage with so far? Could you perhaps give us a few examples?
Well, all the NGOs, important NGOs, you know, people from, say, Bersih and a few other organizations similar to Bersih and so on. Associations related to the army associations, you know, associations, ex-army association, ex-civil servants, and various services.
Has the ERC engaged with political parties? Because that was something
yes,
I think
all
that
political parties join in. One or two may shy away, but they're not really objecting to. Probably they don't have enough people to come in.
All right, and we'll be getting into the details of some of the reform proposals that you've been speaking about in just a little while. I've been speaking with Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run, where I've been speaking with Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee here on The Breakfast Grill. Now, earlier, Tan Sri, we were talking about the ERC's interim report, which was submitted to the Prime Minister on the 13th of January. Now, I'd just like to get into some of the details of the proposals that the ERC has actually put forward. Maybe you could give us an overview, first of all. You know, how many proposals were actually submitted to the Prime Minister?
ERC actually handles all the important components within the election framework. We were looking at 15 components altogether. And the guideline set up by United Nations, they give a guideline of 13 basic important components within the framework for democratic election. We have 15, two more than what they are recommending. Basically, because we have too many missing components within our laws. One of the important elements is the caretaker government.
Yes.
Caretaker government is an important element within the electoral framework. You see, as soon as the government calls for elections, which means dissolution of parliament, the government of the day would not be continuing their functions as usual. So, by conventions, the caretaker government takes over. But by convention too, the caretaker government is the same government that continue. And so far, in democratic countries, in advanced countries, they have got written conventions.
Right.
Ours, we don't have. We are trying to create one so that there will be no controversies cropping up during elections when people claim that the caretaker government abused its power, helping the party in power to do campaigning. In other words, most of the political parties, the opposition parties, will be claiming the party in power through the government has abused the opposition to take part in campaign.
What would be your alternative then?
No, we will continue with that practice. You know, most of advanced countries continue with that kind of practice, that the same government will take over. But then they have got rules to conform. They have got written rules. Here we don't have one. So we are introducing the rules, looking at what people do, what people have, the rules, not just for the government, but also for the people in the administration. Public servants also will have to obey certain rules, written rules. They are called either written conventions or cabinet manual. You know, we have seen all this in advanced countries. You know?
All right.
We are creating ours too.
All right.
The system itself may take time to develop. But what is important now is the image SPR is carrying. That people don't really trust our SPR. No, as I see it, I've been in SPR for a long time. You know, when you go and see what people do in foreign countries, in other countries, you go to Australia, New Zealand, you go to Canada, you go to UK, and I'm mentioning about the Commonwealth countries. You see their electoral management body being free from harassment, you know, by the general public. They are there, they really function as they ought to function. And people really protect that organization. People took part in protecting that organization. Here, people don't really trust the organizations. There may be a reason for that. They are seen to be probably.
I mean, they were seen to be favoring the government
probably,
of the day.
Probably
at the
favoring
time.
The government, the party that is running the government of the day. So we will correct that image.
How will you
plan
to do that?
By splitting the functions of the SPR into three. Election Commission will only handle policy matters, enforcement of laws, auditing, control of political parties and so on. Auditing, because we are introducing laws on political funding. So the Election Commission will be given the power to audit.
I see.
Political funding. And the other body will function solely in conducting the election itself.
And will all of these,
it will be called Election Malaysia. Its function is only to handle election from...
So any of the by-elections,
Election,
vote
preparing
counting.
Preparation of electoral roll, preparation of polling districts and localities, you know, for the purpose of polling and so on.
Yes.
And the other body, the other function, most important, and people always talk about this, the delimitation of constituency. This will be done by an appropriate body out of the electoral body, the main body itself. We are recommending the government to appoint a separate body, a completely independent body, when the needs arises. That if we are to have a delimitation for every 8 years, then every 8 years, there will be a body appointed, you know, ad hoc body, to handle just delimitation. So that function is taken away from the main electoral body, and that electoral body will be left alone.
But
these are the three separate,
But I suppose the concern that I can immediately think of, if the government goes about appointing the staff of this third-party delimitation body every 8 years or so, the concern over their independence would still be present, wouldn't they? Because they're still appointed by the government.
We are recommending also an appointment system. The way these people are appointed, the public will have a strong say in who should be appointed, not like what they do presently. That
not very transparent.
Not really transparent. The king, the prime minister will bring the names to the king, the agung, and the agung will appoint, so on. Probably we'll get the parliament to participate, select committees in the government to interview people, to make sure that people are appointed to handle all this.
Similar really. To like a wadir of a jury, almost.
Yes, really acceptable to the people. So there will be a huge reform, no?
Mm.
Not just one aspect, but all. And also, in terms of the delimitation exercise, you know, we are putting in a new set of rules. Now, at the moment, the SPR will have to abide by the details given under the constitution, the Schedule 13 of the constitution.
Yes.
Everything is there for election commission. Election commission has no choice but to follow a rule strictly. That may have resulted in some kind of malapportionment, we call it. I don't want to mention about gerrymandering, but malapportionment and even distribution of electors within probably a similar kind of constituencies. My committee is putting up a string of guidelines, and these guidelines will be open to public for comment, so that in years to come, when there is this exercise, delimiting exercise, we will use these guidelines in order to produce what exactly what people wanted us to produce. So rest assured, things are going to be probably better than what they used to be.
I've been speaking with Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee. Now, Tan Sri, we were going through some of the proposals that you've put forward for the overhaul of our democratic systems, and I'd just like to zoom in on one that has gotten some tongues wagging recently, proportionate representation. Is this something that you proposed to the government? And if so, how does the ERC propose we start going about this?
Remember this, that the country has got two types of election. One is federal, one is state. Federal is the parliament. The state is state seats to the state assemblies. This is not present in most of Commonwealth countries. In most Commonwealth countries, they have also two type of election. One is local government election, which we don't have. We may introduce later. For state elections, during our dialogue with people, they seem to be in favor of retaining the present system, which is a first-past-the-post system. This system, you are directly appointing the Wakil Rakyat.
In reality, though, this doesn't really happen, does it?
It does some.
I know, but it's inconsistent because in a lot of there has been surveys to suggest that the Malaysian people tend to vote via party rather than the person standing for the election.
Well, it depends on a geographical area, you know, where, you know, if you talk about urban people can't be bothered who actually, but they care about party because services are being handled by local government, local authorities. Rural area, they don't get any service except for government, and the arms of government do not really reach them. So much so, they have to depend so much on the Wakil Rakyat to handle their affairs. Now, Wakil Rakyat are becoming so important as welfare officers, you know, in the rural area. Because of that, the request is for us to maintain the state election, the first past the post system. People are suggesting, too, that we adopt the other system, the proportional system, because this seems to be more fair. If you get, people will have to vote for parties. If a party gets, say, 50% vote, that party gets 50% of the seats. So we have 2-2-2 in the country. Now, if a party were to get 50%, that means that party will get 111 seats.
Yes.
You know, which is fair. And other parties will get seats too. So there is no wastage in the votes.
But and that would essentially put paid to by-elections like the numerous ones that we've seen in the country since GE14.
Yes, because we are using the least.
Yes. But the question then is, because I understand there has been some pushback to the idea from some of the political parties themselves who say that this essentially curtails democratic rights because you're depriving people of the ability to vote in that interim period. If, say, they were unhappy with their previous MP, then they can vote for the MP of another party.
Well, you can always argue in so many ways. You see, by introducing this, the election is going to be more fair. And if you talk about democracy, the proportional system is the most democratic to me, as far as I'm concerned, you see, because there is no wastage in votes. Whichever party gets a certain number of votes, that party will get seats. You know, even the smallest party will have a chance to get some seats. But if you have the other, first past the post, if you have five candidates and five candidates are getting some votes and the winner gets only 40% vote, he wins. 60% are not voting for him. Is that a fair approach to democracy? You know, I'm...
It's rule of the majority,
yes,
right?
Yes, you have to really confirm. If you are commanding the majority, then by right, you command the government. But the list will be made public. The list of candidates a party presented.
Okay, so what has the reaction been like to the reform proposals that you've given to the government? What have you heard back from the Prime Minister's department?
No, I haven't got anything yet, but I've had some discussions with the Prime Minister himself. It seems to be... There's no negative reaction from him as yet. So we are proceeding with our report.
All right. And so as a final question, Tan Sri, as someone who was chairman of the Election Commission for 8 years...
I ran six general elections. I helped to run six general elections right from 1979.
Right. So from 1979 to 2008.
Yes.
What's your gauge then of the state of the country since GE14? And where can we go from here in order to improve our democratic system?
Well, I'm very happy. In spite of the poor election laws we have, we are supposed to be free, fair, transparent and so on. But I think one thing that we have achieved is we really allow people to freely make their choice during election. Mm-hmm. And we put in place the elections that are considered to be successful. We maintain the best as we could the kind of democracy that people expected mm-hmm. us to maintain. So now I'm very happy that we are given this opportunity to really undertake reforms. And this is the moment that I waited for so long. So I know where the weaknesses are, and we are trying to handle the weaknesses. God willing, you know, a time will come then that the country is at par with advanced countries in terms of democratic election.
And what's next for you, Tan Sri? Do you think will you stay with the ERC if it continues after August of this year?
I'm not sure what the government is going to do with us. But I have the feeling, I think the government, because they are already talking to me on this, that we have to look into the need for local government elections.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show this morning. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, Tan Sri.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.